All right, so who wanted to be a fry dropper when they were a kid? I didn't even know that's what they were called. But we all had something. Everybody had something. I mean, I had this thing that I wanted to be. And I'm sure that you can all relate to that when you were this big. It seems like the adult question of the day is to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because as adults, we don't know how to talk to little kids, so we ask them that, I guess. But so right now we're going to do a quick exercise. We're going to spend about 2 or 3 minutes, grab a pen, grab some paper, write down what it was for you. What did you want to be when you grew up? And just think about that just real briefly. What spoke to you about that? Why did you want to do that? Yeah, we have pencils in the back if you need them. Brent's excused because he's got a plate of food. I think he's doing what he wanted to be when he grew up. And what was it about that thing that drew you? All right, I think everybody's limbered up a little bit here, so let's hear it. Who's got the most unusual I want to be when I grow up? You want to be 6 feet tall? Yeah, I was going to say, Eric, I think that you're going to have to come up with something else for that. 6'8"? Well, you're closer. I think you're closer to 6'8" than Eric is to 5'7". Anybody else? What do we got? F-14 pilot? All right. What's that? Okay. Either way, you know, both involve guns. Yeah. What's that? Game warden. Very cool. Now you just shoot the animals instead, so. Astronaut, race car driver. Very cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember watching the first moon landing on the old black and white huge TV that was about this big. Last one. One more.
I wanted to be a fire engine. A fire engine? I really didn't.
Nice. No, I don't think so. You didn't. We'll try to bring some clarity to that for you, though, so. For me, I think I can probably relate to Randy most of all because this was my, that's what I want to do. You know, from about 11 years old, actually they didn't have F-14s at the time. I was more of the F-4 guy, but very similar. And it was very specific for me. I wanted to be the naval aviator. Got to be hooked up to the catapult shuttle, sitting there, afterburners, ready to go. 0 to 150 knots in 2 seconds, put me in that, and I'm good. That's where I wanted to be. And it's interesting because I knew I could not, had no chance whatsoever. My eyesight was like 2600 when I was 7 years old, so not a chance in the world. So you know, for me, I've always felt like there was a little bit of maybe settling that I've had to do. And I couldn't do this. I couldn't be the guy sitting in there and ready to shoot off the end and go save the world and go into battle and do all the stuff that I saw in that. So it feels like we've settled. And, you know, how many of you, astronaut and game warden and different things that we've talked about tonight, how many of you feel like or have felt like over the course of your life to an extent you've maybe settled a little bit because those childhood dreams are not where you're finding yourself right now? And, you know, for me, I kind of feel more like maybe this is a picture of where I landed. You know, I'm the guy in the Ford being shot off the catapult ready to hit the water sometimes. So, but it's, you know, that's kind of what our life feels like sometimes. You know, those dreams are going off the end of the ship and sinking fast. And it's really where we often land. But tonight we're going to bring a little clarity that I think maybe will help you settle that a little bit. Have some good news for you, because your calling is much, much deeper than what you do. In fact, most of the time your calling has nothing to do with what you do. So we're going to talk a little bit. The last couple weeks we've talked about some foundation material. Mark talked the first week about your identity, essentially, in the fact that you are born of nobility and you were born a son of the king, and you have a place because of that in this world. And God designed you with that nobility. And then Mike talked last week a little bit about the orientation points that we're going to use to place you within God's story. He talked about large story, talked a little bit about your journey and how that matures you and brings you into the identity that that God created in you. And then talked about desire. And we're going to talk a lot more about desire in a couple weeks. But those are the orientation points along with revelation from God that allow us to understand this thing about us called calling. But we haven't talked about what calling is yet. So tonight we're going to get a little more specific, and we're going to try to bring a little clarity to that. So we're going to start out with some definitions. We're going to talk about a little bit what calling is not. So we're going to kind of get some things out of the way, maybe some preconceived notions out of the way. First of all, roles. We've been talking about roles. You know, what did you want to do when you grew up? Roles in our lives. What do we do? And we all have roles that we play now. We go to work in the morning. We're fathers, and we are husbands. And roles in our lives are given by man. The definition of roles is these are given to us either by ourselves or by others. So, you know, you've got the guidance counselor we looked at up here. You're going to be this or you're going to be that. And that kind of resonates with me because, you know, we've all gone through the high school counseling thing, and you take the aptitude test and it says, oh, yeah, you need to be this or you need to be that. And it never seems like it fits, but I guess that's just what they do. But these are all roles that we live into, that we live in our lives. And the interesting thing about this is misunderstanding of this point can be extremely impactful in our lives. Because if we look at our roles as our calling, we're ultimately going to be disappointed, and we're ultimately going to be sidelined by using that definition, because the fact is our world, especially this country and the society we live in today, really tries to define who we are by what we do. And deeper than that, this country tries to define who we are by what we accomplish in that. You know, I'm the CEO of the whatever company, I drive the Maybach to work, my worth is within those things, according to the culture we live in. And that's kind of the fight that we're up against now. But the good news with that is these can drive us to seek our calling. Because seeking your validation, seeking who you are in this way, can never satisfy you. It's never going to bring you to an understanding of who God created you to be. And ultimately, you're going to be dissatisfied. You're going to search somewhere else for that. And I want to take a look at another clip. This is a man who has been playing a role for many, many years in his life, but he has pretty quickly figured out that, or not quickly, I guess, after 20 years, but he has decided that this is not who he is, and he's wanting to understand maybe that there's more to himself. So let's take a look at that, and then we'll talk about it.
Banking, yes. Yes, banking, that's a man's life, isn't it? Banking! Cyborg silence, the fate of criminals, decisions of many people die in America.
So where do you start with that? Yeah, I love that. First of all, if we have any accountants in the group tonight, apologize for that. You're in no way diminished, hopefully, by watching that clip. But I love that. I mean, here's a guy who's been doing something that the world has told him he is. I mean, the world's told him, you're the accountant. And these things are welling up inside of him that is longing for, you know, did you kind of get the theme, the battle to fight, an adventure to live? And I think the career counselor on the other side I love, because it's a great picture of the messages we receive as soon as we try to step into those desires. I mean, the guy's, well, that's pretty dangerous. What you really feel like you're designed to do and who you really are, that's kind of dangerous to do that. Maybe in easy steps, you know, banker, that's a man's life. So when we're in our roles and we think that this is all there is for us, we have an enemy that's very content with us to be in that place. But the minute we start to move out of that and start to understand that maybe there's a little bit more to us than just these roles in our lives, there's a lot set against that. There's a lot against that. There's a lot set against what we're doing tonight because of that, because there's so much more to you. So we're going to talk a little bit about what calling is, and a little bit of a review. Over the last few weeks, Sunday mornings, Randy's talked about universal calling. And I want to revisit that just briefly because it's important to understand, again, kind of the foundation, the basis for what we're talking about and what we're going to be moving in here, into here. So universal calling, again, is kind of this umbrella that we all live under. We're all called to certain things by God as believers, as followers of Jesus. We are all, as a group, called into some specific things. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And what I love about that verse is, if you look at the Greek root, the Greek original of the word fellowship, it means communion by intimate participation. And we're all called into communion with God by intimate participation. And I think that's a really cool picture of how God designed us to live with him in this world. He could have designed us to live in very different ways. I mean, he could have said, okay, I'm going to make humanity and then I'll go check up on them ever so often and kind of let them do their own thing. But no, God designed each one of us, designed us as mankind to live in his story. And not only that, to participate in his story with him. So we're all called into that together. We're also called into community with each other. And again, that's part of this umbrella calling that we all live under, that we're all designed to live in. Matthew 28:19, participation with God, the Great Commission, make disciples of all nations. Matthew 25, again, which Randy talked about on Sunday mornings for a couple weeks, is a really cool picture, I think, of how we were designed to live in community with each other. Under this umbrella of universal calling, we're designed to minister to each other, to minister to the sick and take food to the hungry and so forth. But it's kind of interesting to me, as I've been thinking about this over the last few days, most of the people I know that live this, it kind of struck me, is the women of the world. Women typically are the ones who take this on. And as men, we don't really seem to step much into that. And I think really the reason for that is we get so focused on the roles that we're living. We're the provider for our family. We're the father. We're the husband. that pretty much takes all the bandwidth I've got as a guy. And the enemy loves us in that place, and he wants us to be essentially isolated in that place. But God has called each one of us, every one of us, into that role or into that calling. Oswald Chambers said, God's call is for you to be his loyal friend for whatever purpose he has for your life. And I love that quote because the loyal friend portion of that really points back to the universal calling that we're all called to be. But for whatever purpose he has for your life begins to narrow that down a little bit. And it focuses a little bit more on myself as an individual and each one of you as an individual. So that brings us to our unique calling. In addition to this universal calling, God has designed each one of us with a very, very specific purpose and a very specific, unique calling in our lives. Because he's called us to participate in his story, and he has a purpose for each one of us in that, he's designed each one of us in a way that allows us to land our weightiness. Mark talked about weightiness week one. God has designed each one of us to land that weightiness uniquely in a way that he has not designed anyone else to do. So there's never been anybody like you before, never will be anyone exactly like you after, which always amazes me when I think about that. You know, there's however many billion people on the earth right now and how many billion people have been lived and died, but never has there been any single person like yourself. So basically, your calling is not a job. It's not a role. Your calling is to land your unique glory in the world around you. Your calling is to land your glory in the world. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God created each one of us with very specific things in mind for us. When he made Jonathan, when he made Mark, when he made Mike, and every one of us, he had a very specific purpose and created to do good works. Which comes back again to this thing that we're talking about, unique calling. So what is that? I know there's probably all of the concrete thinkers out there that are thinking, that's just great. My glory. What does that mean? Your glory is the absolute key to understanding who you are. It's the key to understanding how God designed you. And it is the key to understanding your calling in this world. So let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, the definition of glory is something with a splendor or an abundance or a brilliance. Now, I guess you could take brilliance in a couple different ways. I kind of took it as the shiny brilliance. But if you want to take it as the other type of intelligent brilliance, that would probably apply as well. But your glory, glory is something which is very magnificent when you see it. Psalm 8:3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." And I love this passage because it's such an interesting picture of, I mean, it tells you almost everything you need to know about God's heart for you. First of all, verse 3, talking about a God who can create and set the moon and the stars in place, has created you specifically with glory and honor. So he's set you in a place that, I mean, you exude a glory because you reflect the image of God. The image of God has been uniquely placed within you, and then made them rulers over the works of your hands. So God made this world, he made this creation for us to rule. And
To do that, he gave us a part of himself, which is a part of his glory and a part of his image. So the interesting part about this is it is probably so you, your glory is probably so you that you really don't understand it. You probably don't even see it. That's a place that you land where you're doing something that seems so natural to you that you think, yeah, this is just the way things are. But actually, there's a weight. It goes back to the weightiness that that Mark was talking about again. Quick illustration for that to kind of bring a little more clarity to that. My wife loves to host. She is very often hosting meetings at our house. You know, she'll host people over, do whatever she can. She loves doing that. And she has a way about doing that that makes people feel very welcome. And it makes people just instantly, if they've never been to our house before, they feel like they belong. They feel like they're welcomed in. They feel like they're part of the family. You know, some people like Mark that just go in the refrigerator are, I think, part of the family. But, you know, there's just this thing about her that it's just amazing to see because she is in her glory when she's doing that. But if you ask her, she would say, well, yeah, you know, I like to cook and I like to visit with people. I mean, she minimizes it because she doesn't see that in herself at all. She does not see that she's in her glory when she's doing that. It is so her that she's really kind of blind to it. And that's really the story for all of us. We typically are blind to our own glory. So it's basically your glory is what you naturally do. It's an inherent ability. So say you're the guy that walks into a room and you see 25 people just kind of walking around trying to accomplish a task. They don't know what they're doing. You've got people over here trying to do one thing and somebody else over here trying to do something else, and you are the bring order to chaos person. And you walk in and you don't even have to say anything. The first thing, you just tense up and you look, and it's like, okay, I'm kind of rising up on my toes here because that guy needs to be over there doing that thing. This group needs to stop doing that. They need to move over here. We need to have these people do this. And it's just kind of how you are. You see that, and you see the patterns in that. And it's your just inherent glory that God's given you. He's given you that ability to do that. Now, again, because that is something that you just naturally live with, very often you don't even recognize that, or you downplay it, or the world will downplay it. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Because, again, back to the fact that God put a portion, a part of himself in us, it's reflected outward. But we don't necessarily see that. You know, when Cindy's hosting someone, I see a picture of God's heart in her. And sometimes I just stand back and I just watch because I just love seeing that. I mean, it's amazing to see people who are operating in that way and in that place, who are operating in their glory as God designed them to do. So just to kind of bring a little more clarity to that, it's what compels you. So, you know, think about just for a minute. I'm sure everybody can relate a little bit to that idea of walking in, seeing not necessarily everybody, seeing the chaos and the order thing. Some of you are the chaos people, but I know that you have some sort of glory too, and we'll figure out what that is at some point. But, you know, it's just what you just naturally do in any given situation. It's just kind of the direction you go and who you are. And that all really comes down to, again, the fact that you have a weight and an authority that you bring to a situation. I want to take a quick look at one last clip. This is a picture of a man, young man, who is trying to live in that place. He's trying to live in his glory. The world is giving him messages that that may not be him, but he's trying to really move into that. So let's go ahead and watch that, and then we'll chat a bit about it. That clip. I mean, it's a picture of the glory that God has given this young man that's trying to come out, and he's up against a world that's telling him, you know, you're a black kid from the Bronx, you're a basketball player. How could you possibly have written this? But this kid sees the written word. He looks at the written word as poetry and communication in a way that other people do not see. I mean, he uses words as a communication method that most people just can't figure out, and it's just inherently who he is, and he lives in that place, and he's alive when he lives in that place. And I love the contrast with the Sean Connery character. You know, here's a man with very similar glory, and he has basically turned away from the world and tried to shut it out. But once he sees it in this young man, he sees it coming out, he kind of reconnects with himself in that and starts to move back into that. So it's really a great picture of that. It's your calling is this thing about you that you can't turn off, you can't hide. You can try to deny it. The world can try to tell you that you don't have it, but it's there because God placed it there. And it's there because it reflects who God is within you. So, our calling. One more click. There you go. So basically, the definition of your calling is to let the world around you experience the glory of your life. Simple as that. To let the world around you experience the glory of your life. That's your calling. Now, I know that there are some more concrete thinkers out here, and we're not going to leave you with that. This is just week three. So we have a few more weeks to go to start to focus in and narrow that down a little bit. But I don't want you to leave frustrated, so I'm going to give you a little sneak preview of some of the things we're going to be talking about. How does God use this? How does God use our glory? Basically, God gives assignments in this life to us to land our glory. So assignments are God's plan to land your glory and your weightiness within His larger story. That's what your design is. You know, back to God gave you these gifts. He gave you this glory to do good works. This is exactly what it looks like, is to land that weight in specific situations that God calls you into. So remember, roles, which we talked about, are given by man. And not to minimize roles, because your glory and your weight in life, absolutely, you want to land that. You know, if you're a father, you're a husband, definitely you're landing your glory in those situations. But God will call you into other things above and beyond that. You know, we talked to a lot of people that misunderstand that, because it's a subtle nuance between those. Well, my calling right now is to be a husband and be a father. That's a role. Yes, you need to land your glory in that, but God has more for you. He has something else for you to do in this world, because each one of us is made to land our weightiness in a way that nobody else can. And if we don't step into that, there's going to be something that's not going to be accomplished that God designed us to do. So assignments are God's plan to land your glory. Each of those is a training step, because frankly, if God revealed who you are, if He revealed your identity all at once, you probably could not really understand that, couldn't comprehend that. And we're never going to know our full identity until we're reunited with Him. But as He gives us assignments in this life, He trains us for playing a part with ever-increasing glory. He will reveal to us more things about ourselves as we mature through the assignments that He gives us. And then your glory and calling will be revealed through steps and stages, essentially, in these assignments that God gives us. So, for instance, I feel God calling me to pulling an example out of the air that I can relate to really well, be a children's ministry director. My wife is children's ministry director here. That is an assignment that God has given her. Is her calling to be a children's ministry director? No, that's an assignment. But she is designed in a certain way to land her glory and the weightiness of her life in that assignment that she's in at this point. Will she continue to be a children's ministry director? Well, probably the wrong question to ask. Randy's nodding his head yes. Very, very possibly she could continue. And that actually brings up a great point. You know, we don't know how long the assignments that God gives us are. I mean, He may have us doing something for 6 months, and that might be enough preparation in that particular thing to move us into the next thing that He has for us. He may keep us as a children's ministry director for 20 years. You never know. So, but the point is, it is a training step. And you grow within these assignments. So as you mature and you experience different things, and your glory continues to come out in ever increasing amounts, you know, he's moving you through a journey. And back to what Mike talked about last week, this is a part of our journey. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do an exercise. Basically, what we're going to do is we have a sheet with 180 words. 180 verbs, descriptive verbs. So we're going to take about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and just take some time to go through that. And as you look through that sheet, there will be words that are going to jump out at you. And you're going to see those, and you're going to think, wow, that really is me. So just place a check mark next to those.
Not on the printer.
So once we get those printed, we will go ahead and get them over here. Thank you, Joel. So place a check mark. Take the top 20 words of the 180, and we'll go ahead and do that for about 10, 15 minutes. Once we're done with that, we will continue and narrow these down a little bit more to maybe a top five or six. And those of you who are the rule followers will go with five. Those of you like Randy who are not will probably go with maybe six, seven, eight, whatever kind of the Spirit leads you. All right, so is everybody pretty close to finished up? What's the deal? You're only supposed to use the words that are actually on the paper. We have another class for you. It's over in the special learning. So I've got to be somebody that goes outside of the lines. Yeah, that was actually really fun. I found myself looking at these words as a standalone, but when I got done and went back through the 20, it was a very obvious picture, a very obvious theme was coming out of that. I think I had more problem with the narrow it down to five than the initial 20, because it starts to become much more you. So the reason we did this is we want to start doing some things like this that allow you to begin to understand what that glory, what that about, that picture that God has put into you and built into you looks like. Because, you know, again, when I went through that, I thought, okay, yeah, this, and this. And then the theme kind of hit me, and I thought, wow, that's not really what I expected necessarily, or I didn't actually see that happening. So I think that's really a good illustration of the fact that you're very often blinded to your own glory and who you are. So hang on to these. We're going, all the exercise sheets that we pass out throughout this series, hang on to them because, and bring them with you. Especially in a couple weeks, we're going to be talking about desire, and we're going to hit very heavily on really some more depth into this. So bring these with you, and we'll talk a little bit more about them at that time. What we're going to do right now, just to finish up, is we are going to go to some discussion time, and we're just going to talk a little bit about the exercises that we did. Number one question, I wanted to be a blank when I was growing up. Have you ever felt like you settled? Have you ever felt like what you do now, the role you're in now, has been a place in your life where you've actually felt like you've settled? And why is that? And then talk a little bit about your word exercise answers. Did you notice any themes as you went through this and as you went back through the 20 initial words and then narrowed that down? And more importantly, do you believe that they fit you? Why or why not? And if you're in a group with somebody that you know and you feel real adventurous and want to put the question out there, ask them, you know, share what you went through with your own exercise and ask them what they think. Ask them if they think it fits you. I think you may be surprised at the answer, hopefully in a good way. And then any common themes or links that you can identify between those. You know, as when we're kids, when we're little, I think we live out of our desire very, very freely. And I think who we are comes out very freely as we're kids, and that's kind of repressed as we get older. So think a little bit back to that time. You know, what drove you to want to be the astronaut or whatever that may be? You know, for me, I've realized that the F-14 pilot was really a picture of some deeper things. And over the last couple of years, I've had a chance to spend some time flying. And I actually had a chance to get a pilot's license. Now, it wasn't an F-14, but
close.
Very close. But I realized, you know, it really wasn't the F-14 that was really driving that. It was some deeper things within me that were a play in that. So, you know, think a little bit about that and what that looks like for you. So go ahead and break into groups, maybe three or four, four at the most, and just chat a little bit about that. We'll finish up in about 30, 35 minutes at 9 o'clock.